so you can talk. That's it. You've got it. That's
it. Okay. Have I got the ball? Okay. I'm seeing thumbs up. Hi, guys. It's so great to be with you guys. Yeah, Christy might have to come in and out because we've got a cast of thousands of animals that have sort of decided because we're preaching at home, they are a part of the message. We would love to have been with you, but obviously everything going on in the world at the moment, we'll probably just cheekily drop in on you at some times. I'm sort of thinking we might even crash your Zoom every now and then, so you better watch it. So I might get a hacker friend of mine to learn how to mute Ray right in the middle of things. That would be great. I really feel I have a word for you. Oh, we working?
Yeah,
Raymond, you mute yourself, mate. I don't need heckling from the front row. I was really praying about what to share with you guys. I know you as a church are coming into a new season. And you see, the first thing, this is not to do with my message, but I just want to say this. Connection is a choice. And you might at the moment think, well, we're all in different localities and you know, you can feel like this is not connection, but you can make a choice to be connected. Even I want to encourage you with when you have like worship on Zoom. Christy and I had to actually discipline ourselves during the time of COVID that we engaged when we were watching a message on TV, because you know, it's very easy just to pick up your phone and start scrolling through things and be distracted by other things that are going around. So we made a choice that like when the worship was on, we weren't just going to listen to the music, that we were going to engage, because I truly believe that the Lord can move prophetically and even when we're in these different situations. Like, you notice you can read a scripture that was written thousands of years ago and it can be a now word, which is just amazing. It just proves God and proves his word, because here we're reading something that from millennia ago, yet it speaks to us as if Jesus was right in front of us right now. So I just want to encourage you as a church that you can still make a choice to be connected, to really, you know, I want you to really be praying in the spirit about, like, when you feel, you just feel that urge to, you know, I should give someone a call. Just pick up the phone and go, hey man, I'm just praying for you. Sometimes you can have a greater connection with those sort of situations than with people that you see every single day. I know that when I went through the darkest time of my life, I felt most connected with people. There were people from other countries that would ring me and say, Pete, you're on my heart. I'm praying for you. I'm with you. Is there anything I can do for you? Your pastors were two of those people that did that. Don't even live in the same country. So I just really feel that in this next season, for us to see the full manifestation of what the Lord wants to happen, we have to be proactive in our connection with each other as the body. And so I just pray that you don't limit that because, okay, today we're on Zoom. You make that decision that you're going to be connected. And so I really feel the Lord gave me a word. And it's unusual because it's not something that I've normally preached. But you don't have to be a complete studier of culture to know that there is a war on identity right now, like never before. Like everyone who's sort of got a television would have turned on the TV and have heard about the historic overturning of Roe versus Wade, which is, you know, led to, praise God, the least halting of the murder of millions of babies every day. But even in that, you would think that they'd be able to go, because women are saying, I have a choice. But the latest thing they can't even say women make a choice. They're saying people with a uterus make a choice. It's like, it's ridiculous. It's like the devil is doing everything to stop people identifying with who God made them to be. You know, and so that's why you see such militant aggression for us as Christians to accept the gay agenda or the trans agenda or these things. They need us to not just go, well, I have my beliefs, you have your beliefs, God bless you, which is what, you know, when is what a society, a good society should be. We should be able to respect each other. Yes, we have very strong beliefs and we live by those beliefs and we hope our life is a testimony to the truth of those beliefs, but they can't do that. They need us to identify them in these lifestyles because that identity is the actual root bed of the stronghold in their life. And the first thing in our lives that needs to change for us to break into an area where we are seeing the fullness of what God wants us to have in our lives is often in the core of our identity. And so I just want to share a few things about that, what the Lord's been sharing to me about. Now, I come from a Word of Faith background. Thank God I got turned on to, I watched Brother Copeland preaching on Mountain Moving Faith, gosh, 30 something years ago, because when I got saved, God was, it must have had multiple personality disorder, because it was preached one day he was good, the next day he was in a bad mood, but usually you weren't sure. So, and it's like he preached that God was good all the time and that God's heart to us doesn't change. And he has this, that we have a future and we have a hope and that was a rock from which I could stand. And I thank God for that. And I had my 3 Kenneth Copeland tapes and my 2 Brother Hagin books, and you could not tell me anything about faith. There was only one problem. I couldn't get it to work. But I mean, let's be real. I love Aussies and Kiwis. Sometimes we can just be honest that we found, and I'm not saying it never worked. God is so graceful. You know, the word says that when we're unfaithful, he's still faithful. But it wasn't always working to the level that it was. And I just realized I put my faith in things rather than focus my faith in who I was in him. And so I just want to talk a little bit about that today. Now, I think of great men, heroes of the Bible, like the Apostle Paul. Now, you think of this guy. I was just reading this morning, you know, and he talked about he'd been shipwrecked multiple times, beaten with the rod, 3 or 4 times. And those beatings were usually fatal. So he'd survived that. He'd been stoned. He'd had to hide for his life. Been shipwrecked, all this sort of stuff. Do we have anybody who wants to be in the ministry with Paul? Like, this guy went through some stuff. So I would think if there was anyone who could be proud in what he'd achieved and have his confidence in his incredible walk with the Lord, which is just mind-blowing. I mean, apparently historians say Paul was so beaten up, he was quite offensive to look at. I mean, if you've been beaten at least once by the Romans, you usually died. And yet he'd been done multiple times and he'd been stoned, all these things. So that they would, and so here's this guy, imagine him, and he's sharing the things that he's done, and yet still he goes, I did more than all of the others, but not I, but the grace of God within me. And yet it blew me away. I'm reading Galatians, and it's just after the story where Paul confronts Peter, and Peter is he's afraid of a sect of Christians that they believed in Jesus, but they also believed you had to fulfill all the commandments of the law. You had to get circumcised and all of that sort of stuff. And apparently there were a pretty powerful group of people for Peter to be like nearly pretending that he agreed with them. And Paul confronted this very strongly. And so he confronts Peter and says, listen, you're even causing Gentiles to live like Jews. But in verse 2 of Galatians, if you've got your Bibles, Galatians 2:16, he said something which I've never seen it stick out like this. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that they might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. So here's Paul, after all the incredible things he's done for the gospel, saying, hey, even I have to recognize I'm justified purely by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Now, sometimes we get this picture that a message of grace is for people that are struggling, but I find for me, I need to focus on it more when I'm actually doing well. How many of us, like when we're feeling a little bit weak or we're struggling or it's something that we're not that strong at, we're like totally leaning on the Lord, but it can be very easy when we're doing well to go, okay, God, I got this. You know what I'm saying? And so I've found my heart is, even though, yes, I praise God, there are certain things, Christy and I could get up and lead worship at a moment's notice, not a problem. But we want to be people that, even in those things that we were strong, recognize that our justification and our connection to the Lord is purely because of Jesus. And who remembers the scripture? It says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be cast into the sea. And I used to think, my goodness, if I have faith as big as a mountain, I might be able to get that mustard seed to shake a little bit. You know, like, just be real. But the more I focused my faith on recognizing that Jesus has done something supernatural in me, that when it doesn't, not a matter of when I'm being good or when I'm being bad or where I feel strong in an area or it's an area that I don't have natural strength in, that my connection with him is purely because of Jesus. Something happens to my faith and something begins to stir inside of me. And I even began to realize, do you realize faith is of your spirit? Like, if you read the talks about in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, it says love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. Now, the New King James says faithfulness, but that word is the Greek word pistos, which is what the Old King James just says purely, it's faith. So for my faith to be alive, it comes from my spirit. And I just love when the great scripture in Romans, and it says those who have a mind controlled by the spirit is life and peace, and a mind controlled by the flesh is death, meaning it's talking about all the life of God, all the incredible creativity that comes from our connection with God. And if you're a business person, I want to encourage you. You see, the titans of business are what they are because of sparks of incredible creativity. And I began to lean into that, realize as a Christian, God has given me an ability to tap unlimited creativity because I'm in connection with the Creator. So all of you, whatever you're facing, even it can be dealing with people in relationships that, who knows, that, you know, Bible says a gentle word turns away wrath. Sometimes the right word can be just a key that unlocks a heart. That the wisdom of God can open unlimited resources and opportunities for a person's life. And these things come when my, In Romans 8, chapter 1, it talks about there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that what's that talking about is working after what Jesus has done, not your natural ability. Because the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. For he condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law may be fulfilled in us, who do not live after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Which again is talking about when we are focused on what Jesus has done and not our natural strength. And then the next part he says, those who have their mind controlled by the Spirit. So for us to be in the Spirit, for us to be connected to that supernatural faith, that supernatural creativity that takes us beyond what we can do ourselves, it's when we're focusing, and I believe daily thanking God that he's done something supernatural in our lives. And I'll get further on to that because, you know, being a praise and worship guy, obviously I'm going to tie this into praise and worship. And I know I say it every time I talk to you guys, but praise and worship is for everybody. Everybody is created to be a worshiper. We were at a pastor's dinner last night celebrating a pastor's friend's 60th birthday, and there were a lot of ministers there, and I caught up with my good friend Pastor Tom Ingalls, who wrote the Psalmody series, and it's a very powerful worship series. But I love Tom's logo for his ministry: every believer a worshiper. And so every one of us is designed to worship. So I'll tie that all in. But I find I used to, when I was younger, just focus my faith on things rather than focusing my faith and thanking God daily that I'm connected in to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, every part of our life, Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Just even when you start your day at work, begin to just say, Father, I just thank you. I don't live this life on my own. That today I have the Holy Spirit within me, leading me and guiding me. That I am connected to you. That my identity is not as a slave, but as a son. I love this. Galatians 3:2-3 says, this only thing I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that you've now been made perfect in the flesh? In verse 5 it says, therefore he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are the faith of the sons of Abraham. So again, it points back. This whole section of scripture is birthed out of Paul giving the revelation that regardless of the incredible things he's done. Now, when you have a revelation of Jesus, you will do amazing things. There's something in your heart. The Bible says we're created for good works. You, every single person I'm talking here today, is created to do something substantial and significant and life-changing in a person's life. And sadly, I think the thing that holds us back sometimes is we don't recognize who we already are in God. All through Romans, I used to read Romans and I'd think, Paul would talk about the things of the Spirit and the things of the flesh. And my natural thought was, oh, well, the things of the Spirit, that's a good Christian. And the things of the flesh, that's a bad Christian. But we all have the opportunity to choose to live in the Spirit or live in the flesh. It's sad, like, I've just been thinking about this. I can lean totally on my natural inheritance, the things that I received from my parents, who I love and are beautiful people. But that doesn't have anything compared to what I've got in my spiritual inheritance, which is in God. And in fact, if you read in Galatians further on, in Galatians chapter 4, Paul talks about the difference between being, he talks about the two covenants. And he talks about the covenant of the law, which the Jewish nation were following. And he talked about Isaac, which was a child of promise. And he said that we are that child of promise. And then he goes on and says, rejoice, O barren, who do not bear, which we all know is Isaiah 54 or 55. Break forth and shout, who are not in labor, for more of the children, many more of the children who does not have a husband. Well, hang on. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now, we brethren, as Isaac, are children of promise. That promise of the sing, O barren, comes to those that are focused on that they're a child of promise. That supernatural release that in a person's life, and you'll see people, you know, I've got a friend and he was born in abject poverty, and his natural inheritance was he would always be in abject poverty. But when he got born again, he was able to recognize something supernatural was in him, that he was no longer connected to his natural inheritance and DNA, even though he loved his parents and honored his parents, but he was connected to now something supernatural and an inheritance that was far beyond anything he could naturally do in his own self. And all of a sudden, the Lord began to, as he recognized and focused this, I'm no longer just the son of Joe and Mary Bloggs. I'm the son of a king. My inheritance is now connected to what Jesus has done. That God began to do something supernatural in life, and now he is incredibly prosperous and incredibly making an impact for the Lord, because he recognized that his inheritance wasn't his natural inheritance. And sadly, I see so many people today, and I thank God for our families, but if all of our identity is based in who we are in flesh and blood, we will never fulfill and receive all of the fullness of what God has for us. You might be a person who comes from a long line of families of divorce. You are now connected to a bloodline in the spirit that means blessed relationships and families. You might have been connected to a family that has a bloodline of serious health issues and disease. Well, you need to now praise God that you are supernaturally connected to an inheritance of long life that you'll be fully satisfied in. And I believe these are things we need to actively activate. You might have been from a family that's never owned their home. No one in our family has ever had a job. No one in our family has ever owned their home. Well, you are now connected to a new bloodline. Christy and I made a decision. We saw things in our family lines, and even though we love our families and we are thankful for them, but that we wanted to be the new inheritance of the Robertsons. And that purely comes because of what Jesus has done on the cross. And you know, sometimes we become overwhelmed. Pastor Ray was talking about a word that came out in the worship when we, because Christy and I always pray that the Lord will give a now word when we're leading worship. And it came out about being overwhelmed. And I know that when I'm overwhelmed, if I'm focused on myself and my ability, I tend to get deeper in that feeling of overwhelmed, being overwhelmed. But I just want to encourage you today. I love this, Galatians 4:4-7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you were sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into his heart, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through Christ. You realize how powerful that is? Christy and I are doing a worship conference later in the year with Wayne and Libby from Parachute over here in Australia. And we were asked what in our travels we saw in churches and in worship ministries. And Christy actually, she really picked up on something and spoke out. She said, I see a lot of division and a lot of offense in the body of Christ at the moment. We saw it over here. It was just great. There was pro-vax, anti-vax, you know, it just seemed like no matter what you did, I used to laugh. We all love you guys know about our friend Reverend Cole Stringer. Cole would like throw this hand grenade on social media and you'd step back and you'd watch people start to fight each other. And seriously, by about the 400th comment, I'm sure no one even remembered what they were initially fighting at. They were just fighting. I just fighting. And I'm thinking, these are Christians. These are Christian brothers. It didn't even matter what the point was about in there. They were getting nasty. Do you realize there will always be division and there will always be insecurity when you don't have your identity firmly established in sonship? It's amazing how we were at this party last night and the pastor, people were getting up saying wonderful words about this man of God and what he'd done. But the things that touched us the most was his children got up and his children all spoke about how they never once doubted they were loved, that they never once doubted they were accepted. And everybody was there like, mate, your kids are great. You've just got such well-grounded, wonderful children that seem so established in life and going forward. Because they were raised in an environment that caused an identity of sonship to be just so strong. And sadly, because of a lot of us, the way we've been raised, when you've been raised in a conditional love situation, which sadly was a lot of old school parenting, like if you did bad, if you messed up, love was withdrawn. If you did well, love was given. Now, I'm totally for disciplining and training a child in godly things, but in discipline, sonship, love, and acceptance should never be questioned. You can show discipline and consequences and boundaries to children, yet them still feel completely loved, completely accepted. And I believe that needs to be, because what happens is if we have this in our family and our relationships with each other, I mean, sometimes with husbands and wives, you mean we can like, well, you know, they said this to me, so I'm going to give them the quiet treatment. Some of you are right now thinking the quiet treatment. That sounds fantastic. How do I get the quiet treatment? But, you know, like we tend to punish one another and withdraw love if somebody doesn't do the right thing. But the Bible says, you know, when someone hurts you to go to them, but there should never be a question about your connection. We are the family of God and we have sonship. And I find when working with musicians, and our worship pastor has a great saying for worship people, because he says, you know, we talk about creatives, but really they're expressives. We express and so they can be quite emotional people. My old pastor used to say temperamental, half our tempers, the other half are mental. But it's just like, you know, so you've got highly emotionally charged people, but the ones who have a real sense of who they are in Christ never need to fight for the limelight. They never need to fight to be noticed, because they recognize the one that matters acknowledges them, values them, and recognizes their unique innate value. So I just pray that, you know, there's apparently about 130 scriptures that talk about words in Christ, through Christ, by Christ. And I just want to challenge you, as you read your Bible, if you see these scriptures, circle it and go, this is me. This is not something that I am one day going to achieve because of the cross. This is who I am right now. You know, the Bible even talks about in James that he who hears my word and doesn't do it is like a man who looks in the mirror and walks away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So when we look in the word, the mirror of the word, sadly, religion tells us if we measure up to it, God will accept us. But the reality is when we're birthed in and absolutely grounded in that we are accepted, and yes, our flesh might need some work, and I'm not belittling that, but my core value is I'm accepted by him. I'm not a slave, I'm a son. Do you realize how much confidence that gives you before the Lord? I think I've mentioned, you might have heard me preach that my dad, he's a blessed man, worked very hard his whole life. And, you know, he's not a multi-millionaire by any stretch of the imagination, but he just worked hard. But I have more confidence to go to my dad for help if Christy and I needed help in finances, because I know I'm his son. And I know that as a dad, he loves me. And that gives me confidence. And so some of you who are feeling overwhelmed in situations at the moment, I just really feel that the Lord is saying to you to begin to reestablish and meditate on the fact that you are accepted. Sometimes the words that have been spoken over our lives by our parents, by our families, have been like, you're the black sheep. You're the one that never quite got, you know, and the world can point out everything you've done wrong. But God says to you, you are my accepted and beloved child. You even think about, I was talking with a pastor minister friend last night and said, sounds funny. Cole Stringer and I sang a song together at this party last night. So you can just imagine it was really classy. And we sung this song to this friend, and we had another mate there who, you know, again, he's not, we're singing this song, right, doing it to this friend, and very classy. I might put it on our social media later. And the people at our ministry table were like, oh, that was great. That was just good and fun. And I just thought, you know, Jesus, the Bible says, the children ran to him. You ever seen children run to a grumpy person? Have you ever seen people that have sin in their life who, let's be real, they know where they are. Even the ones that are trying to self-justify it, they know there's something not right. Yet they still felt able to come into his presence with acceptance. And I believe when we have a church full of people that have that full understanding of acceptance and sonship, that the world will see that, because they don't have that. They're fighting for every scrap of attention, and they're fighting tooth and nail to be accepted. Anyway, I better go on. I'm getting stuck on a point. Now, I just felt this was a specific word for someone here. You're feeling, you're facing some situations that you've prayed about, you've sought the Lord about, you've even attempted to use your faith in this situation, and it just has not seemed like you've made any headway. And if you've got your Bibles, please turn to Ephesians 3 verse 16. It's a bit unusual this morning, because I feel like I'm speaking to some specific people here, but this is something that we all need to hear. In Galatians 3 verse 16, it says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He did not say to seeds as of many, and to your seed who is Christ. So we've all read the scripture, you know, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. The cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come to us. And it nearly sounds like in this situation that God's saying, no, the promise is to Jesus. But I love, he never leaves us hanging. In verse 26, he says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, you are Abraham's seed and an heir according to the promise." And do you realize, these are simple principles, but we forget them. That Jesus was the one who accomplished it all. That healing that you are trying to believe for, Jesus is the one that got that for you. He's the one that has purchased that with his perfect sacrifice, with his perfect blood, and we just have to receive it as sons. I find that makes just that slight adjustment makes such a difference between thinking that my faith has got to achieve something rather than receive something that my Lord has already purchased for me. Just a little while ago, Tyson Fury fought for the heavyweight title of the world and he won $40 million. $40 million. That's a lot of money. And, you know, he beat one of the best fighters in the world for it. So you think, wow, he's a conqueror. He won $40 million. Tyson Fury is married. So he goes home. Mrs. Fury says, "I'll take that check for $40 million. Thank you very much." Now, Tyson Fury is a conqueror, but Mrs. Fury is more than a conqueror. She didn't get into the ring. She got that for her relationship with the conqueror. We are sons and daughters of the conqueror. We have for too long thought that I'm fighting the devil. I'm fighting that. No, Jesus fought the devil. Jesus defeated the devil. And we're walking in his victory parade. So we need to be just going every day, Father, thank you, Jesus. You've done the work. Yes, there's a spiritual warfare, but the warfare is often in our minds and aligning ourselves and recognizing that Jesus has done the work. And then my faith needs to be more aligned in who I am in Jesus and his finished work. Then all of a sudden I find it's a lot easier to receive healing because it's not something that I myself have got to try and get. You realize all authority is delegated authority. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself, but actually we'll go on to that. The Lord's really been dealing with this lately, like, I started meditating on this stuff. And we've got to recognize, like I said, faith is of your spirit. I just feel to say to some of you today, you know, the Bible says that any person be in Christ, they are a whole new creation, something supernatural. All old things have passed, behold, all things have been made new. And you read in Hebrews, it talks about he has perfected forever. And then let's be real. Then we look in the mirror. Should have gone to specs. I don't look too perfect from where I'm going from. My goodness gracious, you know. But he's talking of your spirit. I love Brother Kenneth Hagin used to say, if you're bald and you get saved, you say bald. You know, this flesh, it doesn't instantly change. Some people have a miraculous experience where everything sort of changes. Most of us, we have to align our flesh with who we are in Jesus. But inside of you is the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And I want you to read this. I actually pray this over my family, over my kids, over our partners. I pray this over your pastors, because I believe I count them like partners in our ministry for the connection that we've had all these years. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 23, says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but that which is in to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Basically, Paul's praying you would recognize who you are right now. Not who you maybe one day will become. But I love this. It talks about the authority is in his body. Now, we talk about Jesus as the head, and yes, we believe in the authority of the head. Who's ever gone to the bank and just their head went there? You know, imagine if you guys come to house church next week and there's Ray's foot. No, the whole thing works as a whole. The worth of every part of the body is the same. You don't get authority in one part of your body that the rest of the body doesn't walk in that same authority. So that we can understand that Jesus, and use our faith and thank God that Jesus has authority. It says over all things, everything that has a name, everything you're facing, if you're overwhelmed right now, has a name. Everything has a name. Depression has a name. Anxiety has a name. If you're facing a disease or lack, it has a name, and it says Jesus has been given full authority. And Paul was praying, I want you to see this. I really feel it's like the prophet standing beside his servant and he prays to open his eyes, and he says, more are those that are for us than those that are against us. I even want to be as bold to say to you, your spirit is not depressed. Your spirit never, never wants to give up. And you know what? That's the real you. That's who you are. Sadly, we sometimes become so connected with how we feel. My gosh, even as a minister for 25 years, our feelings can change. Let me give you a perfect example. When Christy and I first got married, we have 5 children under the one roof. All we felt the Lord say, put in Christian education. So we didn't have a lot of money. And on the rarest night when they were all at something, we sometimes would do the sneaky and go and buy a Kentucky Fried Chicken family meal. Because, like, if we did it with the kids, you know, they all eat 3 times their body weight. We'd be getting like a quarter of a chicken leg each. And we were like, yes, this is what. And those first few bites, this is the greatest thing we've ever wanted. 100% of the time, every time, after we'd done that, we're like, why did we do that? Oh, my gosh. Don't ever do that again. Don't ever let us do that again. Oh, my gosh, that was the worst thing we've ever done. Your flesh will change its mind like the seasons.
Yeah.
Even your mind. I've had how many things have you had, and I'm not talking about the deep things of the word. I'm not talking about the unmovable tenets of faith, but opinions. If you've had a few laps around the sun, I can guarantee you've changed your opinion on a few things about 400 times. Like, and so we want to base our life on something that changes like the wind. Paul is telling you to recognize inside of you, your spirit is 100% connected to the supernatural. You are a son and a daughter of God. Do you even realize the Bible says angels long to look into the things that we have now? Angels stand in awe of looking at children of God. And you, and we had lunch with a minister a couple of weeks ago, and he said, he was talking about stuff like this, and he said, well, you know, can you imagine? We get this thing, oh, wow, when we get to heaven, we're going to go up to King David and go, what was it like to slay Goliath? And Moses, what was it like at the Red Sea? And they're going to go up and go, forget that, mate. What was it like to be the temple of the Holy Spirit? What was it like to be the very righteousness of God in Christ? That we're looking at them as if to say, my gosh, if we'd had what they had. Yet Jesus said, he who is, because Jesus, when talking about John, he said, no man has been greater than John, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John, because he hadn't gone to the cross yet. No one was born again. And he was saying, as great as John was in his commitment to the gospel and his impact, the least who've accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior and has been born again by the Spirit of God is greater than John. How much have we lowered our expectation because we haven't recognized the hugeness of the miracle that has happened inside of our lives? And I just want to encourage you today, if you're feeling, because the Lord's not letting me go of this word overwhelmed. Do you have the Bible says in Romans, it talks about that God wants us to trust in the fact that the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead with resurrection power is in us to give us new life. That when we are facing something that's beyond ourselves, we were not designed to handle it on ourselves. That we just need to take a few moments sometimes and go, Father, I thank you that all the promises that I'm believing for have been fully purchased by Jesus righteously. And Father, because I'm a child of God and that you have washed all my sin and you have given me your Spirit and I am now a child of God, I can freely receive all of the promises of God. The Bible says in Corinthians, all the promises of God are yes and amen. And I focus my faith on what he has done and not on my natural ability. I believe you'll start to see change. You'll start to, I feel even in the way that the Lord speaks to us, the word of the Lord is so much clearer when I'm focused on Jesus and not myself. Doesn't it say, I will meet you between the cherubim above the mercy seat? That's the mercy seat. In Hebrew, it talks about Jesus is our propitiation. That word literally means mercy seat. Jesus is our mercy seat. When we focus on Jesus and begin to just praise him, say, Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that I can come boldly into your presence with your blood washing away every feeling of insecurity and inadequacy, and I stand fully accepted and loved as a child of God. You place yourself in the perfect position to hear from God. I really believe this next outpouring of God will be through people who understand they are sons and not slaves. I just want to finish, I know I've gone a bit long, but this scripture has really been breathing life into me, my own life at the moment. And like I said to you, your spirit is not poor. It's not depressed. It doesn't have a bad self-image. These sadly are things from our natural inheritance. And I'm not going to belittle it because, you know, some people just go, oh, I'll just stop it. Yeah, I wish that was that easy. But even if I could show you an MRI of the brain, you can see dark lines of hardwired thought that need to be rewritten. And some of us, sadly, because of our upbringings and some of the relationships that we've been involved in, the words that have been spoken of our life make this focus I've been talking on not easy. And that's where praise comes in. So in my final scripture, if you turn to Psalm 35, verse 27, just give you time to get there. It says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Notice that. Let them say continually. I can preach in a church, and I can guarantee I'd get most, if I preached on healing, I'd have most of them walking out of that service going, thank you, Jesus, by his stripes I'm healed. But what would they then continue in the week when the symptoms sort of rear their ugly heads? Or I could talk about God's blessing and the wonderful covenant that we have of provision and blessing, and everyone's Jehovah Jireh, my provider, until they go home and the washing machine blows up. Then all of a sudden you're a country singer. You know, you picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille. Yeah, it's like we need to make it be proactive in that what we are speaking, which is praise to God. Now that word, even prosperity, it's not just talking about money. It talks about healing and wholeness and prosperity and peace. That Father, I'm going to say continually, Lord, be magnified who has pleasure in my breakthrough, pleasure in my healing, pleasure in the blessing of my kids. I speak over my kids nearly daily that they are blessed, that they are favored, that they are mighty in the land, that the devil has no power over them, that in Jesus' name that the captives will be set free. I make a decision to do this not just when I'm feeling like it, usually mostly when I'm not feeling like it. I will say continually of the Lord, be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of the servant. But this is what I'm going to go on to. It says, then my tongue shall speak of your righteousness. Now, and always, he's joining it to this. In our praise of the Lord, it's praising him because of his righteousness, what he did. I'm not going to sing a song that doesn't magnify the blood of Jesus and the finished work of the cross and what he has done, because that connects me to the supernatural. That is true praise and worship. It says, my tongue shall speak of your righteousness, not my righteousness. My tongue shall speak of your righteousness, and this final part, and your praise all day long. Now, this is the part I want to connect you with today. Because like I've said, it's not a criticism, but sometimes the reality of whatever in our spirit, it fights against the hard wiring of our brain. That word praise, I will, and of your praise all day long, is the word tehillah, the Hebrew word, which is actually a prophetic, spontaneous song. But it's the sung version of another Hebrew word called halal, which talks about the boasting of God. And I just really want to encourage you today in finishing that when we start, let's be real. Okay, I know you, Pursuit, you're a church that has always focused on worship and the presence of God. So you're way down to the track to some churches. But if you could see what Christy and I see in a lot of the churches we lead worship, that's the first 10, 15 minutes. You know, they just give you that. They're really encouraging. I've led worship and I've had this old guy in the going this. I asked him if he was related to Ray Watson, and he said he wasn't. But yeah, I really like these people are just like, they're all focused on, I don't like the music, or it's too loud, or the air conditioning's too cold, or the lights are too bright, or but something happens as we begin to sing about the wonders of Jesus. We've seen that, right? Any of us who've been in a service. And especially I notice it with Aussie males. Like they get that look, I'm not worshipping. There's nothing you can do to make me worship. But all of a sudden they start tapping their foot. Because the reality of Jesus and that's proclaiming his wonder, what he's accomplished at the cross, his amazing, unfathomable grace, something changes. You can see it. There's all of a sudden there's a disconnect from the flesh, and all of a sudden they're connected with who they really are. And I've then even seen the toughest of trucky, tradie, hands in the air, just tears in their eyes, worshiping their Savior. And sometimes when we're overwhelmed, our praise can be like that Aussie truck driver who's had a rough week. And we still have, you know, you might need to break through a bit. I just want to encourage you just to draw aside when you're feeling overwhelmed. And your praise might be, oh, well, thank you, Jesus. And just begin to praise him for the good stuff. Just praise him. If all you can do is praise him for the blood of Jesus, start there. If all you can do is praise him that, well, Lord, you filled me with the temple. You filled me with the Holy Spirit. I'm a child of, and just begin to thank him from that. And yes, you are doing it at the start, usually out of your soulish realm. But something happens when halal becomes to healer. Something happens in that moment when we're praising him and when we're focused on not ourselves or our circumstances, but we're focused on who we are in Jesus. We're focused on him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As we boast, you know, that halal is singing boastfully about the Lord. As we lift that up, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of our personal performance or strengths or weaknesses, something supernatural happens. And many of you I know have experienced that as you begin to focus on the Lord, all of a sudden there's a shout that comes from you that's not just from your mind. That's beyond your circumstances. It's beyond what's going on in your life because you are connected to the supernatural. You're all of a sudden, you are praising him in spirit and in truth. And that's the sort of shout that brings down those Jericho walls. That's the sort of shout that sings, O barren, because you realize that more are the children of the desolate than she who has a husband. So I just want to encourage you this week that when you are spending your time with the Lord and you feel overwhelmed and you feel that you can't do anything naturally to change your situation, to focus on Jesus and what he's done for you. And just begin to verbalize that and thank him. And I just encourage you to just spend that little bit more time and you'll feel it begin to bubble up in your heart. Do you realize in those moments, those have brought about the greatest breakthroughs in Christian my life? Those times where all of a sudden an idea will just float from nowhere and think, I never even thought of that. I don't have time to share with you, but we've even found with our music, you know, CDs, you nearly like, you go into a church, you raise a CD, you've nearly got to tell the kids to ask their parents what that thing is. Remember when it used to be tapes? And when tapes went to CD, the kids are like, what's that? That's a tape. We used to have tape. Now, because everyone streams and stuff, and the Lord gave us some strategies with that. It was purely the Lord. All of a sudden, we saw our music just go like that. Inside every single one of you, there's a creative solution to what you're facing. I even find like you can confess the word and I 100% believe in that. But you do that until you feel that rise of that, there's that one scripture or maybe one or two that there's just like extra life on. So I just want to pray for you today. I just want to encourage you to spend this week focusing on who you are in him. Begin to go through your Bible and whenever you see in Christ, you know, all the promises are yes and amen in Christ. When you see that, circle that and go, that's me. And then begin to be proactive and turn that to your praise. Begin to thank the Lord. And yes, at first it'll sound like you're just doing it out of your mind, but do that until you feel something rise in your spirit. Until you feel something inside of you connect with that. That's the shout that'll bring the wall down. Now, do you guys have your communion handy?
Want to do it all? You going to do the
thing? Okay. This is such a powerful thing. And I know what I've shared today is very, very basic. But you know what? Sometimes we need the basic. When I used to look at this, and the scripture talks about not again laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, which is the gospel. But you think about it. If any of you guys go into Auckland and they're building a huge new skyscraper, you'll see this enormous hole in the ground that they spend months on working, because if the foundation isn't right, that building's not going to stand. And I know that the great things that God has called you all to do individually in your lives and corporately as a family have to be always on the foundation of this is purely because of what Jesus has done on the cross. And you know what? You need it most, not when you're doing bad, but when you're doing well. I find that pride is always around the corner. But a person that recognizes even the greatest things that they do, it's purely because of what Jesus has done in their life, will have victory over that. So, Father, I just thank you for this wonderful, wonderful family. Lord, I believe that there are things that you've spoken to individually this morning, but also maybe some things even as a ministry. That, Lord, because of Jesus, because you were the conqueror, and because you made us your sons and daughters, we can expect to see you move powerfully. I just felt by the Lord, I just want to read one scripture. Don't keep in that prayerful thing. I'm not going to start teaching again. Romans 5 verse 1 to 2 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, this unmerited favor in which we stand. Now look at this. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Hope in the world is a wish word. Hope in the Bible is an expectation word. Do you realize because of Jesus, because of what he's done through our Lord Jesus, it says here, we can rejoice in an expectation of God's glory. I want you, Pursuit Church, to, if you're meeting in a home, if you're meeting on Zoom, if you're meeting at the Fickling Center, to expect that because of Jesus, you will see a manifestation of the glory of God. I want you to this week begin to voice that because of Jesus in your life, whatever you're doing, if you're a housewife or you're a teacher, or you whatever job you're doing, or that you can see a manifestation of God's glory and favor in your life because of Jesus. Father, that's what we stand on today. And Father, I thank you and I speak that over this church, that Pursuit will see every time they gather and in their individual lives a manifestation of your glory because of what Jesus has done. And Father, we take this bread, which represents your body, that you were pierced for our transgressions. You were crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon you, and by your stripes we are healed. Take the bread as the healed of the Lord. Now we take the juice of the wine, and Father, because of this blood, your word says that we can come boldly to the throne room of grace. That he who had no sin became sin so that we might become the very righteousness of God. That, Father, that we are no longer slaves but sons and daughters of the living God. And we proclaim this and worship you today in Jesus' name. Now take the cup. Well, guys, I know that was just was a little bit unusual. I'm sort of in a season now where the Lord's challenging me with that word with my own ministry that, you know, there's things that I can preach and do, but I'm in a place where I've just gone, you know what, God, if it's not you, I don't want it. And I know that there's, again, I'm speaking to someone here that there is a divine strategy that the Lord is wanting to release into your life. Every one of you. I guess if there's one thing that you get out of today, that there is a divine strategy for every single one of you that the Lord is trying to release. And you can only receive this strategy when you recognize and identify yourself as a son or daughter of the King. So anyway, I'm going to hand back to our illustrious host, Pastor Pam. She might even let Ray say a thing or two, I'm not sure.